Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If we want to understand the death and resurrection of Jesus through the ruthless eyes of the soldiers, we must understand this event and the role that it's meant to play in Matthew's gospel. It's a coronation. It's a coronation of a king, a ceremony with fixtures that matter. The theme of the kingdom has been building throughout all of Matthew's gospel. He begins his narrative with a genealogy of Jesus. He's showing to his Jewish readers how Jesus is the king that Israel has been waiting for. Throughout the gospel, Jesus is telling us parables of the kingdom, that is, stories that show us what this kingdom that Jesus came to inaugurate was supposed to be like. Now, in these last chapters, we see that the kingdom of Jesus is in part inaugurated in this cruel and unusual coronation ceremony. The Jews that Matthew was writing to convince them of the kingship of Jesus, these are also the Jews that used the Roman authorities to sentence Jesus to death. So what is this coronation of our King Jesus like? What does this royal service look like? It included an audience who would not just be viewing, but they would be the main officiants of this coronation service. A band of Roman soldiers, this Greek word that's used here, it's translated as battalion, but it's actually a specific word that means a unit of a larger group. So we know that it's probably around 600 men. 600 men against one. 600 men coming from an army with a reputation for being bloodthirsty, cruel, ruthless, trained not only to win, but to annihilate, destroy, strip away any sense of culture so that Rome's preeminence would be made known. 600 men, a large group. And the other characters that we've looked at this week, we get a name. We get to see their motivations, see more of who they are. But these Roman soldiers who would crown King Jesus are known only as a group. No one is singled out, both to reflect the brutality of 600 on one, the severity and prolonged humiliation of each step of the process, the ruthlessness of the situation. But the crowd is also meant to ask us to reflect on our own hearts. Had we been in the number, would we have done anything differently to stand up against the crowd? The elements of the coronation, they stripped and put a mocking robe on him. They were saying the only power you can have is the power that we say you can have. They gave him a crown of thorns, a crown that they had to be twisted together. Can you imagine twisting together the thorns? Your own hands would have been bloodied in the process, experiencing just a little bit of the pain that you were about to inflict as they set it on his head. They thought very little of any power Jesus did have and sought to hurt him with it. Blood would have been dripping down as the thorns pierced his flesh. They mocked him. They sought to deride instead of worship. They wanted him to feel humiliated. They gave him the title King of the Jews. This was the title Pilate inferred upon Jesus earlier in his examination of Jesus. A title that Jesus responded, he never gave a definitive yes in front of Pilate, but rather allowed him to call him so. They spit on him. They spit on him and struck him. They wanted to attack, take away any ounce of life or respect that remained. Jesus, the king, was not anointed with oil as the kings of Judah in the past had been, but rather with spit and blood running down his face. They left him on his way for dead with nothing. They wanted him not just to die, but to die as in embarrassment. The cloaking of the robe, that was really just for their own amusement, for this little ceremony. There were a crowd seeking to assert power, to give and take what they wanted when they wanted it. But what may have been a Roman tradition to return the executionee to his original clothing perhaps would be to ensure that the punishment was wrought on the correct person. It had divine purposes. Jesus would be recognizable on his march up to Calvary. He would be recognized in his clothing when he hung on the tree. No one would be able to say that it wasn't Jesus the Nazarene that hung on that cross. What can we say was the motivation behind these ruthless soldiers' embarrassment of Jesus? What was their desire? Not just to punish him, but to mock him to his face, to make him feel as alone, as low, as derided as he could be. I believe in part their motivation was to be just the brutal Roman army they had been trained to be. Kill, destroy, humiliate for the cause of Rome. I believe part was to deride the Jews in their fear and envy of Jesus. We read earlier that Pilate knew that the chief priests, they were envious of Jesus, of his fame and his following, and their fear of his that he was blaspheming and claiming his deity. So perhaps this was Rome's attempt to just sort of chide the whole process, the whole prospect of any religious king outside the pagan emperor of Rome. The Romans were mockingly treating Jesus as a king to show how he had been humiliated, betrayed, handed over for the execution by the people he had came to save. It was ruthless. Now, to be ruthless, that word, it means to show no mercy or compassion for another. It comes from an old Germanic word, ruth, which is the noun form of compassion, mercy. To be ruthless is to look on the plight of another and to ignore it, and even to implore it. It means to have such a trajectory, such a path towards a specific goal, that those who may be in your way, those who may follow in your wake of destruction on the journey to your goal, they receive no thought, no compassion, no mercy. In looking at the resurrection through these ruthless eyes, it may seem easy to condemn, to say that we could never sneer, deride, mock, spit on our Savior like these did. But this would be to forget the teaching of the King and his warnings to his disciples. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? As a culture, we are obsessed with celebrating human achievement. This week, we have celebrated space exploration, scientific achievement. We'll celebrate a new national basketball champion. And then after that, we'll wait for the next thing. We'll wait for the next crowning achievement of man. As individuals, we are seeking to put crowns on ourselves in all kinds of ways. Crowns of professional excess and admiration. Crowns of financial prowess and wealth beyond measure. Crowns of reputation. Crowns of control. Crowns of comfort and safety. We do not need to rely on the Lord anymore. In our own journeys towards the crowns that we long to wear, long to be seen wearing, who is it that we have overlooked with the compassion and mercy of the kingdom? Where have we even forsaken Christ, denying his kingship in our own life through our words and through our deeds, by seeking an earthly kingdom, an exaltation of ourselves? If the soldiers are ruthless, and I believe in our hearts we can say that we are also ruthless, lacking compassion and mercy, denying Christ's kingship. In the honesty of this reflection, we see the only one who is both ruthful and ruthless. Ruthful, yes, it is a word that is meaning full of compassion, mercy, and love. Jesus, he saw all of these characters throughout this week. The listlessness of the disciples, the arrogance of Caiaphas, the injustice of Barabbas, freedom, and yet the harsh, and even the harsh mocking of his own violence towards him in his own coronation. Jesus sees them all with love, compassion, mercy, who even while hanging on the cross would have the compassion to pray to his heavenly Father. You guys know the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. But Jesus comes by his ruthfulness, the fullness of his compassion, by accepting the ruthless punishment of the world upon his brow, upon his hands, upon his feet, upon his side, scourged, upon the shame of the cross. The Father's wrath ruthlessly poured out on the Son as he pursued his chosen people by laying down his own life, not striving for an earthly crown, but rather an eternal one. Hebrews 12:28, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. When we see our King full of compassion and mercy, my heart sang through this quote of Charles Spurgeon when he said, let us be more inventive in devising honor than these soldiers were and planning his dishonor. Let us render to Christ the real homage that these men pretended to offer him. Let us crown him Lord of all, and in truest loyalty, bow the knee and hail him.